Maruatapu Hare Mai Ki Konei.
Mōrena. Karen and Elijah here. We coordinate and facilitate communities that apprentice under Jesus together.
These neighbourhood churches form the extended whānau known as Unite Church.
We desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus, according to the Bible, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Devoted to God in Jesus with one another.
Showing the world the love of God.
We believe that God is three in one and that we belong to Jesus Christ.
We desire to be Holy Spirit led, to practice love in community, growing together with joyful endurance.
And to welcome all people, seeing them with the dignity that God created them with.
Now, let's dive into some themes from Luke 22 verses 39 to 23. Verses 25.
Yes, ma'am.
Which we've been reading this week as neighbourhood churches. If you're looking to follow along with our Bible plan, you can find it on unitechurch.org.nz. Nice. So I'm going to read from Luke 22, 39 to 46, which is Jesus praying on the Mount of Olives. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So Jesus went out as usual. This obviously was a rhythm for Jesus, to go out, to pray, to be with his Father. We see this time and time and time again as we read about the life of Jesus on earth. He has a rhythm, and not only a rhythm, but an absolute need to be with his Father.
Necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just something he could do, but something he needed to do.
Yeah.
And even knowing that Judas was going to betray him, he didn't hide, he didn't run, he stayed in rhythm with his Father, even though Judas would have known where he was. Jesus then instructs his disciples to pray so that they wouldn't fall into temptation. They must have been scared, maybe anxious, definitely full of sorrow, because they knew, however their depth of understanding, that Jesus was going to be arrested and then killed. And they followed him. I can see the love for Jesus that they express, yet we can see that their emotions and their really real fear leads them here. Where Jesus takes his anguish to God, the Father, the disciples fall asleep. I a little bit thought you were crying just then.
No.
Are you okay?
I do like to cry sometimes. Yes.
Then Jesus' prayer is so moving, asking the Father if he is willing to take the cup from him. A cup is a powerful picture of the wrath and judgment of God. In a few different parts of the Old Testament, we see this cup mentioned. In Psalm 75, verses 8, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down."
Yikes.
Isaiah 51, verses 17, "Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. You have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out." In Jeremiah 25, verses 15, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it." The cup didn't represent death, but judgment. Jesus was unafraid of death, and when he had finished his work on the cross, the work of receiving and bearing and satisfying the righteous judgment of God the Father upon our sin, when he finished that work, he simply yielded himself to death as his choice. Jesus became, as it were, an enemy of God, who was judged and forced to drink the cup of the Father's fury so we would not have to drink from that cup. Taking this figurative cup was the source of Jesus' greatest agony on the cross. He then gave again his own will to his Father, asking that his will be done. And then God does the most profound thing. He hears him, he acknowledges his anguish, and sends an angel to be with him and strengthen him. Isn't that just like God, to intervene when we need it the most? Jesus then went over to his disciples who were sleeping, exhausted from sorrow. And that's something that was profound to me when I read it this week. They weren't just tired or bored or lazy. They were filled with so much sorrow that their bodies needed rest. And again, Jesus invites them to pray so they won't fall into temptation. He encouraged them to pray, thinking of his needs, their needs before his own. He knew what it meant to be in such close connection with his Father. He longed for the people close to him to have that also.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is what he prayed in John 17. Would they be one as we are one, Father?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. I want to read again. That was really good, Karen. I want to read again that start of that passage that Karen read. I want to kind of double down on the power and the purpose of prayer. And I was just thinking as you were talking about that need versus just something we can add to our day. And obviously there are so many different kinds of ways to pray. There's not like just do this one thing or the other thing. It's just like just connect, make a moment, invite God into whatever it is you're doing. It's like if you haven't had enough sleep, young parents, relatable content, or if you have not had enough food and like 24 hours later after not really eating, you need it. Or when you are underwater and you run out of air. You know, this game you just play when you're a kid in the pool and you desperately need that air. Would that be the same for us with prayer? And I think actually our spirits are like that. We just know how to run on autopilot. But as people of the way, we desperately need to connect to God. We need his spirit filling us over and over again. So I'll read that passage, Luke 22, 39. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him, his apprentices. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And then he did three things. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and he prayed. "God, who was born as a man and walked among those he came to save, the Word that formed life became life and wrote himself into the story of humanity." This is the same person who we see right here withdraw, kneel down, and pray. This humble posture, this ordinary space. I say all of these things so that we would catch the gravity of what he is doing in this passage, of what Jesus does without fail when the things of the world were pressing in on him. I frame it like this so that we wouldn't dismiss one of the foundational rhythms of Jesus' time on earth. The God of all creation, the designer of the universe, came to earth and chose to spend his time in this way. He withdrew, he knelt down, and he prayed. This wasn't the first time he did this. We read of this over and over again, especially when busyness rises. It's not just when he has the time, he makes the time. When he has no time, this is significant. To be connected and aware of his Father was Jesus's primary concern. And it must be for us also as people of Jesus. Prayer wasn't his last resort, but his first response. When we can't do much, we can pray. When we have no words, we can pray. When we're overwhelmed, we can pray. When we don't know what to do, we can pray. Let us continue to be known first and foremost as people of prayer, people who prioritize connection and awareness of the Father. Let us encourage one another on our rhythms of prayer. Let us see the availability and grace-infused nature of prayer to God. And let us correct our course when we lose sight of prayer. Jesus showed us how to live as apprentices of him in this world. To withdraw, to kneel down and to pray. To withdraw, to find a way, even just a moment, even on a break or even just in your head, to withdraw, to step back from it all. To kneel down, posture yourself in a loving surrender of a good God. Open your heart before God. The Holy Spirit is within you. Ask him and he will help. And pray, share and listen and be with the one who made you. Let his presence be your provision. Give him your heart's secrets. Give him what you have, even if you feel like it's not much. Withdraw, kneel down, and pray, because God is with you. God sees you. He loves you. He understands you. And he desires you. in the midst of whatever you've got going on, choose to look up, choose to notice, and choose to connect. For we are people of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Let us walk in step with the Spirit as we follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus.
Awesome. Which leads us to these questions to consider as we share together, remembering that the Holy Spirit leads us as we kōrero.
We've kind of we're staying on the same questions for a couple of weeks because we think these are really valuable questions to kind of have as habits. So tahi, the first one, retell in your own words as a community. What is happening in this passage? What is the context? What's going on? Where does this fit in the story?
Rua, what is God wanting to show us as we read this passage? Where do we sense the Holy Spirit leading?
And toru, what is our response personally and collectively? How do we feel? What are our questions? And then what is God calling us to do?
Great. If you want to begin tithing, partner financially, want to get in contact, or are interested in our neighbourhood church rhythms, you can contact us via unitechurch.org.nz.
This video is available in podcast form anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Nice. On Sunday, December the 11th,
next Sunday,
I don't know what way.
I don't know which direction that is.
Away? Okay. Anyway, we have another all-in. So an all-in Christmas dinner for all of our Unite neighbourhood churches to come together as one.
Plus friends, invite someone, pray about who you could bring along, and we can bring extra food. We're meeting from 4 to 6pm at the Unite Hall. We'll sing carols together, pray together, share kai together. It's going to be good.
It's going to be a great time.
A really good time.
Yeah. And like we tell our children, God is good and He made us good, and so we can trust in His goodness.
And so can you. We're praying for you in the love and grace of Jesus Christ, and we're believing for fruit that will last in our communities. Fruit from Jesus.
Amen.
Awesome. Bye.